Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Superintendents Unplugged, In Depth with Davis, the podcast where we'll dive deep into the world of educational leadership. I'm your host, Addison Davis, and I'm thrilled to have you join me as we embark on the inspiring journey together. As a superintendent once myself, I understand the challenges and complexities that come with leading a school district. But what I've come to realize is that there's abundance of amazing work being done by superintendents all across our country. This podcast is a platform to shine a spotlight on their incredible accomplishments and innovative approaches. Each episode will bring you exclusive interviews and superintendents from various districts across our country, both big and small, urban and rural, as they share their personal stories, triumphs, and even their moments of vulnerability. We will explore the strategies they employ to tackle the ever-evolving landscape of education, from fostering equity and inclusivity to embracing technology and preparing students for their future. But this podcast isn't just about showcasing success. It's about fostering a community of educational leaders who can learn from one another, share their experiences, and collectively navigate the complexities of our role. We'll discuss the tough topics as well, the difficult decisions, and the innovative solutions that are transforming education for the better. So while you're an educator, a parent, a student, are simply someone who's passionate about education, this podcast is for you. Superintendents Unplugged is your behind-the-scenes pass to the world of educational leadership, where we uncover the stories that inspire, motivate, and empower every one of us. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, and entertained as we embark on this incredible journey together. I can't wait to introduce you to the remarkable superintendents who are changing the educational landscape one district at a time. Welcome to another episode of Superintendents Unplugged, In Depth with Davis. Today, we have special guests. We have the Lahata cousins here from Philly, baby. Go Birds.
Right.
Birds. Go Birds. Go Birds. Here from New Orleans. Today, get a chance to talk to these two legends who are doing some really cool things in Philly. So let's just dive right into this. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about their journey. First of all, yeah, how's this become a family thing? You know what? I mean, we get it. You know, we've all been, you know, engaged with educators at one point in time of our life. Yep. But how does this braid into family, being into leadership and giving their heart every single day to our students and our community? You can start whoever wants to start out.
Randy's been the pioneer in the educational platform for our family. Currently, three of us are in the district. Him and I are both assistant superintendents. My sister's an assistant principal, so the Lahata genes are strong, but we come from humble beginnings. My father and Rennie's father had to drop out of school early. My dad dropped out of third grade. Rennie's dad dropped out of fifth grade to support the family. And they brought us here to this country with a vision of us getting a high quality education.
Yes, sir.
And we're just super passionate about paying that forward.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, same thing. Ariel was born here, but I came to the United States when I was 7.
Okay.
My family, youngest of 5 boys. So the household was tough, man. But, you know, and we were just talking about this earlier. We were getting something to eat. And we're telling our stories. And, you know, I didn't have like an epiphany, like, sure. I want to be a teacher because somebody was a teacher. Yeah. I wanted to be a teacher because, one, it helped me get out of the inner city in Philadelphia. I was a baseball player.
Sure.
So I got recruited to play baseball.
What position? Talk to me.
First base.
There you go. He must have been swinging it.
Yeah, oh, you know it. You know it. So that's what kind of, you know, and I hate to say it like that, but that's what my motivation and my journey and my tool to get me out of the Philadelphia inner city. Because, you know, I grew up in a tough neighborhood, you know, a lot of drugs, a lot of violence.
Sure.
And it was one of those things where when you turned 18, it was a big celebration.
Sure.
Because a lot of my friends didn't make it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so when I got the opportunity to go play baseball, you know, my coach was like, oh, why don't you take business? Because that's what all the baseball players are taking. I was like, I'm not a math guy. I didn't have the best educational experience in Philadelphia. So I said, you know what? I said, I always like working with kids. And for some reason, I just said, I want to do education.
Wow.
And then, you know, the rest is history. I did my, you know,
there, right?
And then I always wanted to, like Ariel says, we want to pay it forward. So where else are you going to come and teach but where you will raise? You know what I mean? Yeah. And I knew that I wanted to, that we wanted to give a better educational experience to the kids that we serve, because that we weren't so fortunate.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we did our teacher work, principal work, and now assistant superintendent work, is really focusing on giving our kids the level of the playing field for them, so they have better opportunities than we did growing up.
You know, I mean, it. You know, in most dinner tables, most family gatherings, we would just talk about real things. You guys are probably talking about how we get better every single day educationally. I mean, you know, I get it. I feel it. I know it's a focus. It's in your heart. But we always talk about this also, reclaiming the dinner table of understanding our core values, our family, and how we give back. You know, both of you, it shines through both of you about who you are and what you aspire to do. And you know what? Let's have other students that give them a sense of hope and look like us in leadership roles to give them that pathway to go do some cool things.
Absolutely. So we're super big on ensuring that our students are empowered to have a strong voice, to own their data, to own their instruction, and really to create a platform where we bring to life what are transferable skills.
That's right.
It's important for students to know that what you're learning in a classroom can apply to real life and how to apply it. So Rennie and I are very passionate about ensuring that the curriculum is something that's student-driven, that our teachers become facilitators so we can empower our students to have rich student discourse and also learn how to navigate debate in a healthy manner, which also is a transferable skill to the city. So our goal is to create and support and empower productive citizens so they can continue to pay it forward and give back like we are.
Absolutely. And we talk about the importance, Rennie, of community. And how do we galvanize our communities to be major levers in education? Help, I mean, our parents are our first educators. And at the same token of our parents, but every other pocket of the community, chambers, Chamber of Commerce, economic development, they have to own this with us, local businesses to come alive. How's that happening in Philly?
So you know, we're really big on making sure that our leaders understand that they can't do this work on their own.
That's right.
Many of our leaders are afraid of not welcoming, but engaging their parents just because they haven't done it, right? And a lot of parents feel like a school is not a welcoming place, right? It's a kid place where I call it the cleaners, right? So a parent gives us their kid, right? And then they expect them to be nice and pressed or whatever by the end of the day. I'm giving you my best, right? These are my kids that I'm giving you. So we try to leverage our leaders to. And one of the biggest questions that I ask is, what opportunities do you give parents as the principal for them to hear from you?
That's right.
Right? What opportunities do you give your business leaders, faith-based organizations, community partners to bring them into your building and see what they have to offer, not only to you, but to our parents and our community? But that's what makes us strong, right? And by doing that and talking to parents and getting them and understanding the struggles that they go through, that helps you break down those barriers, right? Some parents don't have the money to pay their light bill. All right, let's get you the, you know, in Philly it's called Light Heat. Okay. There's a program that you can enlist parents in to pay less money, you know, for their heating and have that opportunity. A lot of people don't know that, right? So if we don't equip our leaders with that knowledge and that opportunity to bring parents in, to have those resources and bring them in, it'll never happen, right? So then that divide stays. And then what happens is the schools are just in charge of you know, teaching our kids and getting the instruction, but then we leave our parents behind.
Right.
And like you said, they're our first teachers, so we got to equip them to be able to help. And a lot of our parents want to do that.
Yeah.
They just don't know how. So it's very important for me to make sure that our leaders, and for us to make sure that our leaders are out there bringing those parents in and giving them that opportunity to, and like Ariel said, to hear the kids' voices.
Yeah.
You got to hear the parents' voices as well.
We're talking about the essentials. The essentials that have to happen at the household to give an extension, which is an extension of the classroom, to give that hope, to give that clarity, to give that support to be able to do it. Over the last couple of years, and I would say over the last year, I've been looking at some data in Philly, analytic data that talks about we're one of the fastest moving academically, instructionally across the nation. You know, when looking at urban school districts with student performance, what's that recipe?
What's going on? Listen, is it a family thing? We're getting down because of, you know what? Definitely.
No, you can check our data, man.
He's got receipts.
You can check our data.
Receipts of any day.
We're cooking up the gumbo, but what it really is equipping our facilitators, equipping our teachers, equipping our leaders with the understanding of what to look for in the classroom, and having those very strict look for is what's the teacher behavior that's impacting the student behavior. What key teacher actions are translating to student outcomes and making us really a more data-driven district where our conversations land on data trends and how we're closing gaps, how we're increasing student achievement, also how we're lowering our intensive students as well. So we feel really proud about the fair and equitable learning environments that we created in the School District of Philadelphia. And our students are beginning to thrive in a way that is very well and very empowering.
And the biggest thing with that, to piggyback on that as well, is that we're uber focused on making sure that our principals are instructional leaders now. Because in the past, that wasn't the case, right? They were they were operational, and they were great at doing things, right?
That's easy.
Right.
I can get them in. I can get them home.
Yep.
That ain't no more.
Yep. So it's really important that we help our principals and support them because they've never done it before.
Right.
Right. So we're supporting them and making sure that they take a caseload and they take ownership of what's going on in their schools and visiting classrooms and giving that good, fair, and honest feedback to their teachers and helping them grow and coaching them up, right? Because they've never done that before, so it's really important for us to make sure that they take that piece of the pie and that ownership, and they're also in there coaching the teachers as well.
We're doing it as well. Like, one thing we enjoy most about the work is the 5 to 7 schools we get to go in a week and visit and do instructional rounds and replicate bright spots, lift positive trends, do asset-based walkthroughs. I mean, it's work that brings us a lot of passion and joy, to be honest with you.
You know, there's nothing like being able to get into the laboratory, right, in our classrooms and maximize moments of learning, looking at real-time coaching, really understanding if our Tier 1 curriculum is being implemented and what do we do for, how's the supplemental being implemented as well, and then looking at student work to determine if there's authentic versus compliant engagement every single day.
Yeah.
And it sounds like not only is the capacity building for APs and principals, but you two at the district level are staying relevant as well.
Absolutely.
With building your intellectual capacity so you stay in front of trends, triangulate multiple data sets to do great things within Philly.
And it's a collaboration, man. Like, you know, with our principals, they know that it's not an I gotcha, right? When we go visit, It's real intentional. Like, we don't, you know, and it's important. And Ariel is a beast at this in having an agenda.
Surgical.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Real surgical, right? Having an agenda so that they know exactly what it is that we're going there for.
Sure.
We have, you know, teachers that we're focusing on. And when we go there, you know that we're going to go see those focused teachers, right? And that's the work.
It's a positive thing because it's like there's teachers that we believe that could go from good to great.
Yep.
And their data can also grow. So we come with a very laser focused agenda to support the teachers, but also to build that capacity of everybody else as in an instructional round. It's a joyous occasion and also is a shared learning opportunity.
In that space, what's so important is that while we have two different regions, two different districts, two subsets of schools we deal with, what I'm seeing is that there's common language, the calibration is there, common language, common way of work, common look fors, and then there's growth opportunities, and there's also duplication of best practices.
Absolutely. And we get to share those best practices. One thing about the family table you said at the dinner, we have a lot of conversations about work and how we can improve our practice, how iron's going to sharpen iron. Rennie has his gifts and his talents. I have mine. We have a lot of liking in common, but also we grow from each other because we have our different lenses of expertise. So it's like I said, it's just super powerful for us to be in this work together and be able to bring it to life for so many students that look like us in the city.
And to your point, that common language, there's no ambiguity. Everybody understands everybody understands the assignment, right? You want from the student to the teacher to the AP to principal and then to us. Everybody understands the assignment. We're not coming in with our own agenda.
That's right.
The language is there. Right?
You know what? The gift that I think that I gave many districts the clarity is that our look for is that we unpacked in every core content area. I pushed out to teachers, to the union, to community, to parents, to students, to leaders, and I defined roles and responsibilities and what I needed from everybody to do it.
Yes.
And it sounds like the Philly Project.
Yes.
And that we are really running the ball down the field. We're in the red zone getting ready to score every single day.
Absolutely.
So all the urban districts, watch out.
It just matters what play.
Tony, Jermaine, yeah. You count it.
Yeah.
Oh, Lauren, everybody's on point.
Yes, sir.
You know, and the importance of that. And the one thing that, you know, I spent some time with you guys in Philly, man.
Yes,
I see the love.
Absolutely.
I see the dedication, the commitment, but I also see the willingness, which is most important to learn,
yes,
to grow, yes, to move the ball down the field. And not every district, I'm just going to say it, in theory and in words, they say it. And we got a lot of people that say that they are an assistant superintendent, but they don't do assistant superintendent, right? And so here it's evident about being able to unpack
absolutely
all these elements and just wrap your arms around your teachers, your leaders, and
yes,
and doing cool things for kids.
The one thing about us, right, is that we never arrived, right? We keep learning,
yes,
right?
Yes.
We never feel and never say that we've arrived and, you know, this is it.
Yes.
We gotta keep learning, man. You know, Ariel's in a forum for education and leadership now.
Right around.
You know what I mean? And it's an opportunity to continue to grow, man, because that's how you get better is by learning.
Sure.
We can't stay stagnant in that population.
Plus, we're modeling that right behavior for our principals, right, teachers, and students. It's good to communicate that. So we have a story. We got our story. We come from these neighborhoods. We've made it to the level we're at right now. But what keeps us grounded is the servant leadership mindset. And that we kind of matriculate from, like, it's all about giving back. It's all about showing students a mirror so they can see that you can make it as well. But also having the faith and trust in your leaders to be able to hold them accountable in a way that promotes growth and collective ownership.
I love that. And, you know, in this space, you've got many people will watch this, and we look at other assistant superintendents, other regional superintendents, other chiefs that are on cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
What words of wisdom can you give, both of you, you know, can give them to be as strategic as they can, as thoughtful as they can, and do it in a way that's with a velvet glove and demonstrates care, mm-hmm, but the same token being able to create that ownership and accountability?
I would say that trust is what needs to happen. So what Rennie and I do well is we begin the school year just doing a lot of community events with them, meeting with principals, getting to know them in a deeper level so we can have that connection with them, but also telling our story itself, what we've been through and things of that nature. And then taking the time individually to meet with people so you can build a more human relationship.
Right.
People forget that this is the number one human resource field in the world.
It is.
Everything you do is with a human.
That's right.
It's all relationships. So then after that, once you establish those relationships, it's like, how can we leverage them in an equal playing field? My principals need me and I need them.
That's right.
And what I would tell you is everything I lead from day one is when I meet with my leaders, I tell them, you don't work for me. I work for you. I'm here to support you. It's not the other way around. You don't work for me. I work for you. It's my mantra. I live by it.
And some people, when they get these jobs, and they get these positions, right, they think they have arrived. As you talk about, Rennie and Ariel as well.
Absolutely.
And
I've seen it too many times.
It's not about the title. No one cares. No one cares what your business card says, right? You know what? They want to know that you are a trusted advisor,
yes,
that you're a colleague, that you're willing to roll up your sleeves, put, yes, your shoulder to the wheel, and get down every single day with them.
So two things. One, read the book, Leading Without a Title, right? And I live by that, right? There is no title. Like, as Ariel said, we're here to support you. And this is why I love this job, because I know that I can advocate for you. I can advocate for your kids, your community, your parents. And I have the power to do that.
Right.
Right. And it's a gift to be able to do that. Right. And then, you know, the other piece is that as a cabinet work, you know, we have a little cabinet that we work with.
Yeah.
Same thing. You got to show them that there's trust between us. I trust your work. You got to trust mine.
Yeah.
Right. We have to stay collaborative. We have to have that mindset going on. And, you know, with the speed of trust, mm-hmm, I trust you to support my principles. Right. I'm not going to micromanage you. I don't want to know your schedule, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know what the goal is. You know what the assignment is. Let's get it done. If you need anything from me and support, I got you.
That's right.
But as a cat, that's the advice that I will give, that, you know, some people have their cabinets and they want to, sure, micromanage every little, yeah, piece, every little nugget of it.
Yeah.
And it's unproductive because, yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because then people don't trust. They don't do the job to the fullest. Right.
Yeah.
Your people don't work to the fullest potential. And as Ariel says, man, like my folks and his folks, they'll run through a brick wall for us because they know we'll do the same for them. You know what I mean?
I feel it. Well, listen, I can't thank you enough for spending some time with
me. No, this is great.
I mean, listen, the biggest thing is that you're real, you're hungry,
Absolutely. Focused.
You are genuinely here to tell, not only tell your story, but live your story,
yes.
to give children, you know, all of the opportunity to discover endless possibilities every single day. And for us, I'm glad to say that we're friends in this work.
Absolutely, man.
And you see it, guys. I'm telling you right now, we're here on In Depth with Davis, Superintendent's Unplugged. Freddie Arrow, they put it down today. Yes. It is truly unplugged. But if you want to really dive into leaders that are using analytics, using relationships, building the right culture, and they built a systemic team to do cool things, you know, look these cats up in Philly because they're getting it done. Until next time, I'm Addison Davis. I look forward to seeing you in the classrooms.
Thank you.